Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in one particular verse, he worships that full moon night of the month of Phalgun, because on that most auspicious of all times, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gaura Sundar, appeared in this world. Kaviraj Goswami explains, just as the sun rises in the eastern horizon of Udayagiri, in the same way, the Supreme Sun, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, appeared on the horizon of the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi to give light in this age of darkness. He came like the shining sun to dispel all ignorance within the hearts of all living beings. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, the whole world became auspicious. It is explained that the Lord was in the womb of Sachi Devi for 13 months. And Jagannath Mishra, feeling very worried, he approached Nilambar Chakravarti, Sachi Devi's father, who was the most exalted and learned scholar and astrologer of the time. And he said that this child is extraordinary. This child is waiting for the most possible of all auspicious moments to make his appearance. So by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was a lunar eclipse. It is said, when the spotless golden moon of Sri Gaura Chandra was about to rise, the planet Rahu was thinking, what is the use of this moon with so many spots? So Rahu covered the moon. During the lunar eclipse, it is the tradition that all Hindus, whatever their particular persuasion may be, they all, either with devotion or sheerly ritualistically, they go to the river Ganges or whatever other holy body of water there may be, Jamuna, ocean, and they submerge themselves, and very, very loudly, they all chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. While the names of Krishna were tumultuously echoing in all directions, filling the entire atmosphere, at that time, the Supreme Lord, who especially appeared to induce the world to take the name of Krishna, appeared in the holy land of Sri Navadvip Dham. At that time, all the rivers began overflowing, filled with lotuses. The whole earth just began to erupt with vegetation of auspicious fruits and vegetables and fragrant flowers. Advaita and Haridas in Shantipur upon seeing everyone chanting and all the auspicious signs, Advaitacharya understood that the fulfillment of his prayer had taken place. Seeing the degraded condition in this age of Kali, Sri Advaitacharya would regularly in his house invite devotees to discuss Krishna Katha and to perform the Yuga Dharma, the only possible means of salvation in this age of Kali, the congregational chanting of Krishna's name. But he saw that even the great scholars of the Vedas were so materialistic, they had no bhakti, nor would they take the name of Krishna with devotion. Seeing the lamentable condition of this material society and understanding the future of this age of Kali, Advaitacharya, with a heart filled with pain to see the suffering of others, he worshipped the Supreme Lord with Ganges water and tulsi leaves, loudly crying out for Krishna to personally appear in this world to deliver love of Krishna to all the fallen and degraded souls. On this particular night, Sri Advaitacharya could understand that his prayer was fulfilled, that Krishna has appeared. The next day, which is the day we are celebrating just now, the demigods, the Gandharvas, all of these celebrated celestial beings, knowing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has descended in his most munificent and merciful incarnation, they disguise themselves as Brahmins and their wives to come to offer prayers and gifts to this beautiful little baby child. And Advaitacharya, he sent his wife, Sita Thakurani, to bring precious gifts. And all the Vaishnavas, Srivas, Malini, as well as the others, they all came to offer their gifts and their prayers before the Lord. And when they saw him, they could understand that this child has all the beauty, has all the divine virtuous characteristics of child Gopal himself, except his beautiful blackish complexion of Shyam Sundar was covered with the very complexion of Srimati Radharani. Lord Chaitanya came to distribute the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names, to distribute mercy where no mercy is deserved at all. But he also came to taste the sweetness of the love of Srimati Radharani, to understand what it was about himself that attracted her to such an infinitely inconceivable extent, and to taste the happiness and the joy of her love, the nature of her love, but most of all, to distribute that same love to everyone. Through the instructions, become the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord, and always chant his holy names.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Ram! Hare Ram! Ram Ram! Hare Hare!
So this is the day when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance was celebrated all over the entire universe. And of course, The celebration was everyone was bringing gifts that were pleasing to the Lord. So tonight we have all gathered together to celebrate. We want to present Shri Shri Nithai Gaurachandra with the gift that is most pleasing to them. Lord Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally, in his own beautiful manifested pastimes, exhibited what he takes pleasure in most: to glorify his devotees and to hear his devotees glorified. Srila Sanatan Goswami, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced him to the devotees of Jagannath Puri, he was glorifying him with such enthusiasm that it is said it appeared as if he had five mouths. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Swarup Damodar about the glories of Sri Rupa Goswami, along with Ramananda Rai, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and others, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't find an end to the glories of Srila Rupa Goswami. He was intoxicated with the ecstasy of supreme love as he tried to describe the glories of Sri Rupa Goswami. And on the day of the disappearance of Sri Haridas Thakur, Mahaprabhu personally lifted his body and danced with it. He personally bathed it with his own hands. He personally dug the samadhi and placed the sand upon his body. He personally begged from the shopkeepers for foodstuffs, for a feast to honor the glories of Thakur Haridas. He personally wanted to feed every devotee with the feast that honored his devotee. And then he began to extol the glories, and he induced everyone to loudly cry out, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. He led the kirtan of his own devotees' glories. And then he explained, because Thakur Haridas has spread the holy name of the world, of the Lord, in such an exemplary manner, therefore, he is the crest jewel upon this entire creation. The Lord spoke with such love in his heart and tears in his eyes as he explained the great sacrifices that Haridas Thakur performed to spread the glories of the holy name. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, our beloved father, our beloved spiritual master, following in the footsteps of Haridas Thakur, he fearlessly sacrificed everything to spread Krishna's holy name and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy throughout the world. So how much we can offer a beautiful gift to Lord Chaitanya this evening by hearing and chanting the glories of that crest jewel of all the creation, Srila Prabhupada. And we are so fortunate tonight that we have two of the senior most intimate disciples and associates of His Divine Grace, Srila Giriraj Maharaj and Srimati Malati Devi. Let us welcome them by chanting Hari Bol. Not only is it very special that they have come, but to understand their relationship with Srila Prabhupada in regard to all of us is very important. A few years ago, I was in Udupi for Madhvacharya's 750th appearance day. There was a big, grand celebration. At that time, most of the acharyas of the various maths of Madhvacharya were present at the very site of Sripad Madhvacharya's birthplace. Sripad Madhvacharya is the founder of the Madhva, Brahma Madhva Sampradaya, in which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So these acharyas, who are all so deeply, deeply learned in the scriptures, and so pure in their behavior in every respect, they were all speaking of the glories of Madhvacharya. And somehow or other, they wanted me to also speak. So the two leading acharyas, Peja Varamat Swami and Pali Varamat Swami, they together introduced, and they began to extol the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And they were glorifying Prabhupada for quite some time, saying that he has done what none of us could ever do. He has taken the teachings of Sripad Madhvacharya and spread them throughout the entire world, what nobody has ever done. And they concluded their introduction by saying that Srila Prabhupada was such an exalted, divinely empowered acharya that all of us, the acharyas of the Madhva Sampradaya, all of us together, do not equal even one grain of dust at the feet of any of Srila Prabhupada's disciples who are spreading the glories of the holy name. Yeah! So we have two of such exalted disciples. Actually three, Nityodita Maharaj also. And Jai Murari Maharaj. And Jai Sri Mataji. So tonight, we would like to make an offering at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by requesting Srimati Malati Devi and Srila Giriraj Maharaj to explain, or let us say, share some remembrances of Srila Prabhupada. They were both together with Srila Prabhupada when he first began the preaching in Bombay. So we owe them our lives. I have nothing more to say. Malati, Devi, please speak. Please share with us your wonderful words of wisdom.
Maharaj speaks about exalted devotees. I'm not an exalted devotee, and I am somehow or other trying to become a devotee before the end of this life. So I beg all of you to please help me in that regard. I can't speak too much louder, fortunately or unfortunately, due to some purification received at Mayapur. When I was watching yesterday's reinitiation and watching the preparation for today's initiation ceremonies, I was thinking about my own beginning and my own initiation and the first few initiations that took place. What I was seeing here was so many well-trained aspirants preparing everything in such a proper pukka manner. I was seeing groups of devotees gathered together discussing very wonderfully their joy at the prospect of becoming initiated in a few moments. And I saw these wonderful young men and women and older men and women going to the various Vaishnavas and offering their obeisances and begging their blessings. Such a wonderful standard of behavior. And I could see they were already, everyone here was already a devotee, that this initiation ceremony was part of the Vaishnava formality, but already everyone here was a devotee. And in our case, in my case, I barely had any idea what was happening. I had no idea who Srila Prabhupada was. We didn't even call him Srila Prabhupada. He was simply Swamiji. And we weren't even sure what that meant. We weren't sure what was going to happen. We weren't sure what he was going to do. And we had no idea that so much might ever be expected of any of us. When we were told there would be initiations, I had known Srila Prabhupada for less than 3 weeks, not even 3 weeks. And we were told simply that we must follow the four rules and regulations, and that we must chant 16 rounds upon a set of beads that we ourselves made out of bright red wooden beads. And beyond that, we really didn't know much. But there was a sense of seriousness there. And we knew we were taking a commitment that was meant to be for life. In those days, we didn't put our net beads on until the actual initiation ceremony. So at that point in time, the actual putting on of the neck beads, coming around your neck, this dog collar of Swamiji's, it was very ominous. I was told to gather some wood and to get some butter, some bricks and some sand. And I was told that the butter was going to be put on the fire. And I was thinking, what a waste. We had no idea of sacrifice. We had no idea of sacrifice for the pleasure of Guru or Krishna. And I was thinking, there's so many starving people in India. What a waste. So we went to one dairy manufacturing company, and we begged some butter. At least the begging was in good spirit, begging on behalf of Guru. But they gave us some butter that had touched some machinery and had a little oil in it, machinery oil. Therefore, they couldn't sell it, so we got that butter. We had to promise we wouldn't eat it. I said, don't worry, we're going to burn it up. But we really had never, ever seen a fire sacrifice. We just called it a fire ceremony. We didn't know what was going to go on in what order. We didn't wear saris. We didn't wear dhotis. I can't even remember if we even put tilak on, to tell you the truth. But somehow or other, four of us came together on this day. It was the first initiation ceremony in San Francisco. And the bricks were arranged in a little container filled with sand. We had a few flowers that we stole from Golden Gate Park surrounding. And we had some dye that we had managed to buy, that got the powdered colored dyes were there. And the ceremony began. We were given our names, which we could barely understand, let alone remember right afterwards. But certainly when the neck beads came on, we felt something very significant had occurred. And then Srila Prabhupada Swamiji began the fire sacrifice. And we're sitting there, and more or less we're in a bewildered state of mind. We know we've just done something that has to do with the rest of our life. We're not sure what. This fire is going up in the middle of the room. It was crackling and smelling, and Swamiji was chanting in a very foreign language, the mantras. And the only one we were supposed to remember was Swaha. And thank good it only had such a short sound, we could remember it. Afterwards, or toward the end, he handed us the bananas, one of the other devotees, and we were holding the bananas, and we were looking around because we didn't know what to do with the bananas. Some of you know this. We peeled them. We were hastily informed to put them in the fire. And then Srila Prabhupada, and we were looking at him through the fire. It was very smoky. He was just the only person on that side of the fire. Everyone else was on the other side. And his English was accentuated. His English was England English, proper English, not American English. And it was accentuated with his beautiful Bengali accent, but we couldn't always understand everything right away. We had no prior instructions on proper Vaishnav etiquette. So when he said, Vodong, we didn't actually know what he said. And so he said it again, Vodong. So we started to feel a little uncomfortable, and we looked from one to the other. And I'd like to say the most brilliant one among us, but he must have been brilliant because he became our temple president. His name just became, he was Harvey Cohen and he just became Hari Das. And he figured out what we should do. He got down on his knees, so we got down on our knees, and he took a big breath and he on the fire. And we all blew on the fire and it went right in Swamiji's face. And his eyes became really large. That's the only, I was watching him the whole time because I wanted to know like what was expected after the blowing on the fire, what we were supposed to do, so I was watching him. So his eyes were very big and filled with soot and smoke. He just picked up his kartals. And Srila Prabhupada had very beautiful, elegant, aristocratic hands. When he would play the kartals, you could watch him, just watch him play the kartals. He'd lift up these fingers, these last three fingers, and he began a very crisp kirtan. And we were feeling very relieved. We didn't know we had done anything wrong even. We still thought it was okay. But at least we knew how to chant. And then we felt very relieved that we could do something that we were sure about. But this gives you an idea, an extent of the mercy and the compassion of the Vaishnavas. And sometimes if you might feel a little rough towards a newcomer for their inadequacies or their lack of knowledge, try to remember Srila Prabhupada's kindness and mercy upon his newcoming dogs. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I remember, actually, in Bombay I had a lot of kitchen service on and off. And one time, though, Srila Prabhupada was staying at the Mufetlal residence over in Nepenthe Road. Remember that place over there? We were staying up on the fifth floor. And I got asked to stay there. All the other devotees were out in Juhu Beach with the mosquitoes and the mouses and the rats and the shrews, living in little tents and lean-tos. But I had the great fortune of being the wife of Srila Prabhupada's secretary, and I knew a little bit about cooking and shopping in India. So that enabled me to be invited, or requested, in fact, to come and stay in the apartment with Srila Prabhupada. And this apartment, being a very proper apartment of a proper Indian family, had a servant's quarters, and I was able to stay in the servant quarters. Of course, the servants' quarters there were very, very nice, actually. And I was cooking and doing house cleaning for Srila Prabhupada. I had just been in Jaipur, and while I was in Jaipur, he had sent a telegram, and the telegram said, "Bring Radha Krishna large, Bhaktivedanta Swami." And this was the day before I was supposed to depart. So I ran back to the Murtiwala. We had just bought three sets of deities, very large sets of deities, the Detroit, the Dallas, and the Denver deities. If anybody knows Dallas deities, they're very big. Kalachanji is very big. So we came back, and we informed him, "Well, I want another large Murti." And we thought we had seen all the Murtis he had because we'd been there for a few weeks. But all of a sudden, in a hurry, I needed another large set. And suddenly there was one particular set. So I purchased, and I personally wrapped up that deity and put them in a box. And then we put them in a truck, one of those big lorries you have that are all painted very colorfully and have many horns on them. And the deities were coming to Bombay in the truck. And then suddenly myself and the other Mataji, we jumped in the truck. And we also came in the truck to Bombay. And Prabhupada heard the deities were here, and he asked that they be brought to his room. They had arrived in Juhu, so the devotees brought them back, and he just wanted them brought to this apartment, and they were in the living room. So he came in, and he saw them, and he said, "Put them in my room." So these deities were in his room. And every day he would be looking at them whenever I went into his room. Of course, he did other things, but when I went in, he was always looking at these beautiful deities. And these deities went to the second Pandal program that was held in Bombay, and later on they were sent to Mexico City. Srila Prabhupada said that Radharani looked Mexican, so she was sent to Mexico City. But he said that very complimentary. But while we were at the same apartment, there was to be a big procession, and they had somehow or other, I don't know how, probably Giriraj Maharaj knows how they got this nice convertible car, no doubt a life member's car. And Srila Prabhupada went downstairs, and I had to remain back to clean and to prepare prasadam for Prabhupada's return. And I had my small daughter with me, and we were looking over the balcony, and suddenly she started, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada." And there was so much commotion going on. So many devotees were chanting. And we're on the fifth floor. How could he hear Prabhupada? But he heard. And he stopped. And he sent one of his servants upstairs to bring her down. And I'm thinking, my God, you know, who's going to watch after her? And he put her in the car next to him. In fact, there's a photo of this. You know that photo?
Yeah.
Less than 3 years old, something like that. And I'm thinking, you know, little kids, they all have all kinds of bodily needs. Who's going to do it? She's with Prabhupada and the sannyasis in the convertible. But he asked her, and I had to let her go. So I was in total anxiety the whole time. But after a few hours, she came back. He came back. And Prabhupada didn't say anything, and I turned to her, I said, well, how was it? And she just looked at me really coolly, and she said, it was fine. And I was feeling kind of foolish for even doubting that things could be otherwise in the presence of Srila Prabhupada.
Just expressed to me that until he's more purified, he cannot speak, and your words are purifying him. So he would like you to continue on.
My senior godbrothers have a way of turning things around. Normally, they are very truthful men, but due to my bad influence, they become untruthful. Best thing would be that I should leave, and then everything would be as it should be.
Your words are like a fountain of nectar. And they're washing all the dirty things from our hearts.
Now we know they're lying, because they have not got dirty hearts. What they're saying is that their hearts are purifying my impurities. But I'm so foolish, I don't take advantage properly.
The proof that you are more pure than me is that you defeated me.
Since there was no contest, there's no question of defeat.
I can't argue with, she's my senior god sister, and she's
what happened
much
is
more pure and sincere.
By your admitting defeat, you defeated her. So now you have to speak. Vaishnav etiquette is very mysterious.
Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was speaking about the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the best gift that we could offer to the Lord. I thought the best gift is you all, the living entities within the material universe, that nothing would please Lord Chaitanya and Srila Prabhupada more than every living entity within the whole material universe being offered to the Lord. As Malati Mataji was speaking, I was thinking how merciful and how compassionate Srila Prabhupada was. or is. I thought of one incident that took place perhaps at the same place, at Sea Face Park or Mafatlal Park at Warden Road, when Srila Prabhupada was staying there. He got a phone call from one of his first disciples who had come from America to India, and somehow in India he had become involved in smoking ganja or something. And somehow Srila Prabhupada received the phone call from Calcutta and was informed of the whole situation. And Srila Prabhupada said that if you do not give up smoking ganja, I will not be able to continue to accept you. I will have to reject you. After Srila Prabhupada put down the phone, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who was there, asked Srila Prabhupada, is it true that if he doesn't give up smoking ganja or charas, that you will reject him? And Srila Prabhupada said, no, I can never reject him or anyone who comes to me. Then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, but Srila Prabhupada, isn't there a limit? Don't we have to draw the line somewhere? And Srila Prabhupada replied, no, there's no limit to the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So Srila Prabhupada was the embodiment of the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually there was no limit to his mercy. No limit. The things that Srila Prabhupada had to tolerate to spread Krishna consciousness, even the things he had to tolerate from us, are inconceivable. So much of Srila Prabhupada's time actually went into mediating fights among devotees. And he was so kind and so patient, just like a loving father. He would hear everyone, both sides, two sides, three sides, four sides, and he would just plead with all the devotees concerned not to fight, to give up their little differences or individual differences and cooperate for the sake of spreading the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of Srila Prabhupada's love and compassion and mercy, not only did he preach himself, but he ordered all of us and inspired all of us also to preach. Because he knew that practically we had no qualification at all for devotional service. But if we served him and pleased him by preaching, pleased Krishna by preaching, then by the mercy of Krishna and the parampara, we might be able to, or we would certainly be able to, achieve the goal of Krishna consciousness. One time, when Tamal Krishna Goswami was in Bombay, he had to go to Jaslok Hospital for an operation. And when Srila Prabhupada heard, Srila Prabhupada was also in Bombay, and when Srila Prabhupada heard, he was very concerned. He actually wanted to stop the operation because he didn't have much faith in doctors. Of course, now we have devotee doctors, so they're in a different category. But otherwise, Srila Prabhupada did not have faith in mundane doctors. And he wanted to go to Jaslok Hospital to stop the operation. So we all got in the car with Srila Prabhupada and drove to the hospital in one room. And he was just coming out from the effects of the anesthesia to normal consciousness when he saw Srila Prabhupada. And he told Srila Prabhupada how he had a dream during the operation, or just around the time of the operation. And in the dream, Srila Prabhupada had gone to Lord Krishna to report about his preaching on planet Earth. And Srila Prabhupada was saying that actually the people on the planet Earth have no good qualifications. They have no assets for spiritual life at all. And perhaps he enumerated the faults of the fallen souls in the age of Kali. But then Srila Prabhupada said, they do have one good qualification, and that is faith in Guru. And because of the one qualification of complete faith and surrender to Guru, they can engage in Krishna consciousness. So when Tamal Krishna Goswami related the dream to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, in his own way, agreed that yes, it is true. So because of Srila Prabhupada's love for Krishna and for us, we became attached to Srila Prabhupada. And when we became attached to Srila Prabhupada, we were ready to do whatever Srila Prabhupada asked. And Srila Prabhupada asked us to preach. And by his words and his example and his humility, he inspired us to try to preach. And one of Srila Prabhupada's favorite examples of how anyone can preach was Malati Mataji's daughter, Saraswati. When we had the apartment at Akash Ganga at Warden Road, many respectable gentlemen used to come from time to time. And as soon as they entered, this little girl, Saraswati, would approach them and say, "Do you know who is Krishna?" And then she would say, "Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead." So Srila Prabhupada was making the point that even a child can preach. All the person has to do is repeat the message. And because the message is coming from Krishna through parampara, the message is perfect. From After the first big Bombay Pandal, Srila Prabhupada went to Calcutta and then to Delhi for the first big Pandal in Delhi. And Srila Prabhupada was leading kirtan on the stage, and one or two or three or four of the older devotees got up to dance. But it was quite a calm and quiet affair. And suddenly Saraswati, this little girl, got up and started jumping and dancing all over the stage. And when the audience saw her, they became so inspired, they all stood up and started to join. So it's true, and it's amazing. One very something else happened there, but I won't tell the whole story because it may take a long time. But during the Pandal, one hippie came forward to the stage, and he really looked wild. I think he had a leather jacket and a big chain with a picture around his neck. And he was in a real, he looked like he was in a real ferocious mood. So the devotees were trying to keep him off the stage. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting very gravely, as always, very majestically. And he said, "Let him come. Give him a seat." So the devotees gave him a nice asana and he sat down. And he wanted to challenge Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said, "Give him the microphone." So they gave him one of the microphones. And he started to challenge Srila Prabhupada. One of the questions he asked was, "According to you, when was Bhagavad Gita spoken?" Srila Prabhupada replied with complete authority, 5,000 years ago. Then the boy started, he must have read some books or met some sadhus in India, he started quoting some other authorities. According to so-and-so, Bhagavad Gita was only spoken 1,500 years ago. Srila Prabhupada said, "That's nonsense." So then the boy wanted to ask more questions, and he was in a very challenging mood. And Srila Prabhupada said, "No, first you answer my question. What is the method for understanding Bhagavad Gita?" And the boy was insisting that Srila Prabhupada answer his question. He said, "I asked you first. You have to answer my question." And Srila Prabhupada said, "I'm not your servant. I don't have to answer your question. You answer my question. What is the process for understanding Bhagavad Gita?" And then Srila Prabhupada went on to give the answer. You know the answer? Surrender. Devotional service, tadvidi pranipatena pariprasthena sevaya. So Srila Prabhupada had brilliantly handled the whole situation so that the whole audience could see with their own eyes how not to approach a spiritual master, and how one cannot understand Bhagavad Gita. Now, at the time, I was moving around the audience, distributing books and magazines. And, you know, when the fight took place on the stage, the audience went wild. The audience became completely polarized. You know, the devotees, they understood the truth of what Prabhupada said. But the stereotyped Hindus, they got very upset. They thought, oh, Swamiji has lost his temper. Swamiji has become angry. Swamiji should have answered his question. Why he did not answer his question? So it was like very difficult to deal with the crowd, especially the ones who became upset. And somehow I didn't know what to do, and I wasn't one of the most senior devotees. So I sort of made my way back to the stage. And behind the stage, some of the organizers of the program, and you know, they were pious, but they were also materialistic, and they may have been interested in their own prestige or whatever. So, as I recall it, one of the organizers, or some of the organizers, were really shouting, you know, that he's ruined the whole thing. We put so much effort into organizing this program, and now he spoiled everything by losing his temper. And I remember something like Malati Mataji saying that, you know, our Guru Maharaj is perfect. You know, he didn't ruin anything. He's perfect. And maybe she gave him a slap. As I remember it, she gave him a slap. But maybe it was just verbal. But it shows both. It shows the type of loyalty and faith that Srila Prabhupada inspired in his disciples, and it showed how devoted and faithful some of his disciples were and are. Going a little further back, there was another very amazing incident that involved Srila Prabhupada and Saraswati. Srila Prabhupada had asked some devotees to go to Madras to accept an invitation he had gotten. So some of us went and arranged a program for Srila Prabhupada. And many of the top people in Madras became very enlivened about Krishna consciousness. Most of the biggest people became life members. And we arranged maybe a 5-day program at Kalyana Mandapam? Kalyana Mandapam? Mayapan. There was one film producer, A.V. Mayapan Chettier, A.V.M. Anyway, there was a Kalyan Mandapam on, I think, Edward Elliott's Road, very prestigious road in Madras. So we had 5 days program there. And then the Chief Justice of the High Court there was really interested in Krishna consciousness. He even wanted to take initiation from Srila Prabhupada. So after the 5-day program was over, he arranged a program in Adyar, where he invited all the high court judges and advocates. And it was a very distinguished gathering held in a pandal, like a garden or a grounds. And in the lecture, Srila Prabhupada was talking about the 6 Goswamis, that they were so exalted in human society, but they gave up everything to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and assist the mission of Lord Chaitanya. After the program, we went to the Chief Justice's residence, and he was going to receive Srila Prabhupada and the devotees and give them some prasad. So, as I remember, think he had presented a small, like a golden or a silver deity or statuette of Krishna. And I think maybe Srila Prabhupada put the deity in the hands of Saraswati. Anyway, the deity was in the hands of Saraswati. And she, you know, became very attached to the deity. And Srila Prabhupada called Saraswati. And he took the deity, and he held the deity right in front of Saraswati's eyes, and then he hid the deity. And he said, "Saraswati, where is Krishna?" And she started looking everywhere. She's just a small girl. Started looking, she couldn't find Krishna. After some moments, Srila Prabhupada said again, "Saraswati, where is Krishna?" And again she started looking. She couldn't find Krishna. She started looking all over the room. She couldn't find Krishna, and she became like very anxious that where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Then finally, Srila Prabhupada said, "Saraswati, who has Krishna?" Then Saraswati's eyes opened up wide, and she said, "Prabhupada has Krishna." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And then this little girl, she went running up towards Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada pulled out Krishna and held it right in front of Saraswati and all the devotees. So as we discussed the incident afterwards, we thought that, and then Srila Prabhupada began to speak about the six Goswamis, how they were always in the mood of separation from Krishna. Hey Radhe Vrajadevike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, Sri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale, Kalindi Vanye Kutaha, Gosanstaviti Sarvato Vrajapure, Kedaya Mahavivalo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago, Sri Jiva Gopalago. That they were always mad in separation from Krishna, roaming all over Vrindavan. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So through his dealings with Saraswati, he showed us the mood of separation of the Goswamis. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Looking everywhere. And he also gave the answer, not where is Krishna, but who has Krishna. And that if we go to Srila Prabhupada, and if he's pleased with our anxiety to find Krishna, he can deliver Krishna to us. So the last incident I thought of mentioning actually came to mind when His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was preaching. How we, you know, what is the best gift that we can give to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada were so pleased by preaching. It's also an initiation story. Not as early as the story Malati Mataji told, but pretty early. Srila Prabhupada initiated one disciple and gave him the name Bhavananda. And after the ceremony, the devotee went to Srila Prabhupada, and because the word bhava actually means material existence. different from bhava, which means transcendental ecstasy. So Srila Prabhupada gave him the name Bhavananda, meaning the bliss of the material world. So the disciple became really worried, you know, what was Srila Prabhupada trying to say? You know, what kind of name did Srila Prabhupada give him? So after the ceremony, the disciple went to Srila Prabhupada and he was very concerned. So he asked Srila Prabhupada to explain the name. And Srila Prabhupada gave the answer that the bliss of the devotee comes from the bliss of Krishna, Ananda. The happiness of the devotee comes from the happiness of Krishna. And therefore, the devotee always wants to give the greatest happiness to Krishna. And what brings the greatest happiness to Krishna? It is when we bring the fallen souls back to him, when we preach. And where can we preach? We cannot preach in the spiritual world because everyone is already Krishna conscious there. We can only preach in the material world. So the bliss of the material world is the bliss of preaching. And because preaching brings the greatest bliss to Krishna, it also brings the greatest bliss to the preacher or to the devotee who knows no happiness except for the happiness of Krishna. So he said that this is the meaning of Bhavananda, the bliss of the material world, preaching. And how, and His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying how Lord Chaitanya used to love to glorify the devotees and hear the devotees glorified. So there was one very little incident that took place here when Srila Prabhupada first came to Bombay and was staying in Saksariya Bhavan on Marine Drive. He had little Radha Krishna deities with him. So one devotee, a contemporary of Malati Mataji and friend, Gurudas Prabhu, he started to glorify one of the other devotees named Dinanath for the way he led kirtan. Then suddenly Gurudas Prabhu noticed that he was speaking in front of the deities. And according to the nectar of devotion, one should not glorify anyone or praise anyone in front of the deities. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, I didn't notice that the deities are here. And according to the nectar of devotion, we're not supposed to praise anyone in front of the deity." Srila Prabhupada replied that Krishna is already glorified, but he takes more pleasure when his devotee is glorified. So I think that by the glorification not only of Srila Prabhupada, who is the crest jewel of the entire universe, but even by the glorification of Srila Prabhupada's devotees or Srila Prabhupada's dogs, anyway, that was also Prabhupada's mercy that he said that. Actually, everything is Prabhupada's mercy, it's nothing else. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanandi.
Arrivo. At this time, we can all experience Bhavananda, the ecstasy of the material world, chanting Krishna's holy names. Srila Prabhupada, as is being explained by these most wonderful of his associates, he lived only to give Lord Chaitanya's mercy to everyone who would simply accept it. And Srila Prabhupada knew that Lord Chaitanya's mercy was to induce everyone to chant Krishna's holy names. And this was his greatest pleasure, to see the devotees seeking shelter in Krishna's holy names. Would you agree?
Yes.
So let us make this offering this evening of giving Srila Prabhupada and his wonderful associates, as well as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the pleasure of seeing the beautiful kirtan of the holy name. Everyone, please rise.